Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross Hand Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crosshandthrone.com. And we also have another web address, paulsevangel.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. On our website, we have available the Concordant Literal New Testament, the Concordant Commentary, very important tools you must get. We also have these audios on here, these programs you're listening to. They're downloadable for free. Go there, listen, play them, do as you please. And we pray that you use them to study and learn more about what we've taught you here. Well, I have with me today Mr. Martin Zender.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, we've been teasing them long enough, Martin. We said we'd talk about the entrance of sin. And but you first wanted to get to...
Oh, I got to get my cartoons in here. My book, yeah. Tell them about how to be free from sin.
How to be free from sin while smoking a cigarette.
While smoking a cigarette. That's a shocking word.
I have a copy right here. It smells
freshly printed. We had a reprint because this is the fastest selling book I have. And the reason is that this is where the rubber meets the road. You can't... How can you enjoy mature truth? How can you enjoy what Christ has for us if you still think that your sins, your faults, your flaws are keeping God from liking you? You can't even go on from there. I mean, that's the first base. You have to understand that God is now conciliated to you. He's not reckoning your sins to your account. Once you get there, once you establish that, and not many people are established there, because as you said, the institution wants to keep your sins against you because that gives them work. We're working ourselves out of jobs here, you know, by telling people that, hey, it's not you. But I guess we're not. We're always going to have a job as long as the institution keeps teaching salvation by self. Salvation by self. But yet they disguise it. They don't do it that blatantly, do they? They don't tell you you're saved by self.
No.
What they say is, how do they do it? It's just like a manipulation. It's like, come to the altar and be delivered. Mm-hmm. I have to come to the altar and approach God with tears, just the right words. You're supposed to remember the day you are saved. You have to have in your mind that, okay, I did go to the altar, I did cry, I did say the sinner's prayer, I think I got the words in the right order. And all this is nothing but focusing on self. And we're telling you what Christ has accomplished. And that is freeing you from worry, freeing you from concern of what you do. Because really, this boils down to this nutshell. When you're so concerned about what you're doing for God, you forget what God has done for you. Which brings me to another graphic in my book.
Let's hear it.
This isn't the cartoon. You want to see it? This isn't the cartoon.
Show it to the microphone.
All right, I want you people to look here closely.
What page are we in?
The graphic is on page 24. And this has actually been made into a bumper sticker by a fan of this book. Here's a definition of religion. Religion is man standing on his head for God. Truth is God standing on his head for man. Truth is what God has done for us, not what we are doing or going to do for him tomorrow. That, boy, I'm telling you, what an emphasis shift that is.
Let's continue. I'm going to read a comment you have here right after that graphic. You said, millions have been tortured, imprisoned, and killed in the name of religion. It fits. The elements of the Greek word translated religion in the Concordant Literal New Testament are dread, teach. Dread, teach. Disgruntled churchgoers will appreciate that literal definition. The word religion itself comes from a Latin root lig, which means to tie or bind. This is suggestive of a person restrained by a system of worship, unable to get up and wander out to the meadows and mountaintops where Christ is.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. Well, this is why we think this book is going to be a great help to many people. How to be free from sin while smoking a cigarette. You have to read this with it. I mean, it'd be good to have a Bible with it, but all the scriptures are there for you to look at. But we suggest you look up and follow along with him if you have a Bible with you. Now, I want to get to something.
Well, you can get this at martinzender.com.
You can.
Did I mention that?
You can get it at
martinzender.com. That's my website.
Not only does Martin have these books there available, and we have this book at our website at Cross and Throne as well. But on Martin's site, you can sign up for his Clanging Gong newsletter.
I have a newsletter called Clanging Gong News. It comes out every week. You need to go to the website and sign in, and you will get it emailed to you every Saturday.
Every Saturday. It's a good way to start your weekend. And also, you can get to go there and listen to all of Martin's talks from 2006. He gave almost 100 of them on different biblical subjects. Great teaching there. You should go there and listen to that as well, right?
That's correct. You should, yes.
Talks. All right, now let's talk about something. We're going to talk about sin now, mm-hmm. today, where we stand.
Right.
Let's talk about where sin come from.
All right.
All right, first of all, if you were to ask modern Christians today, where did sin come from, what would they say?
Disobedient people, stubborn man.
Okay, how did they get that?
The devil made them do it.
So, first it comes from man, then it goes back to the devil, right?
Yeah.
Where'd the devil come from?
Oh, geez, where'd the devil come from? Well, the God made the devil. This devil wasn't always the devil. God made him good, but somehow the devil slipped the leash and wreaked havoc with God's.
So thing. God made the devil.
Yeah.
And the,
apparently, since God made everything, one thing has come into existence.
So God made the devil, and then the devil tricked God?
Well, the devil messed up God's original
plan.
The way I understood it.
Say that that's something that it's so far from the truth, it's not even funny. Modern Christendom is taught that they try to say that sin didn't come out of a vacuum, did it?
No.
It originated somewhere. It
had to come somewhere.
Now, what is sin? Literally, the word means to miss the mark, correct?
That's right.
It means to miss the mark. There was a story in the Old Testament about the Benjamites who can take a rock and sling it at a stone, sling a stone at a piece of hair, and not miss.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. It means to miss the
mark. Yeah, that word that they translated miss is the same word translated sin. It just means to miss.
Yeah.
Right.
So, the word sin, it means to miss the mark. Now, God created the heaven and the earth, right? He created all things, including the devil. Now, modern Christendom says that God created the devil perfect and not to sin, correct?
That's right.
But the devil one day decided, I'm going to run things, mm-hmm. and then he fell, so God kicked him out of heaven. So here's the question. If God made the devil not to sin and the devil sinned, who failed?
I would say God would be the failure.
God is not a sinner, though, correct?
Correct.
So God had a purpose in creating this adversary.
I would hope so.
God had a purpose in creating this adversary, and you can finish this.
God had a purpose in creating this adversary,
All right, now listen. Before I go further, I want people in Radioland to think before they go nuts and start yelling heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Either God is responsible for his creation or he isn't. Let me repeat that in a different way. Either God is God or he's not. God, in creating this universe, did not sin. He never made a mistake. So when he created the adversary, Satan, he created him to do exactly what he did. If not, God sinned. That tells you that sin has a purpose. And I'm going to read to you a comment from a book called The Problem of Evil and the Judgments of God by A.E. Nock. This is on the preface, the first page. A stranger coming into Christendom would certainly deduce from the literature of the day that there are two great powers struggling for supremacy, one good and one evil, and that the evil was not only uppermost at present, but would eternally prevail over the good. Only a feeble fraction would be saved from the clutches of the evil one. A believer, however, may see that by faith, that, at present, the evil in the world is in accord with the Scriptures and an essential ingredient in God's plan, and also the only way to the highest blessing for ourselves and for the human race, as well as all creation. All of mankind must learn to realize what God is to them by an actual experience of what it means to be without Him.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Then they will be able to give Him the unforced outflow of their hearts. Now, this is modern Christendom. Modern Christendom is teaching that God and the devil are at war.
Yeah.
And that this devil is a creature that is on the lam, as it were. Is that the way mm-hmm. to say it? Is that the right term?
Yeah.
He's uncontrollable.
Right.
And God can't control him.
Well, that was proven in the Garden of Eden. He couldn't control him.
Couldn't control him. Now, why am I bringing this up in the whole topic of sin? Because people look at the sins in their lives, and they're damning themselves, they're mm-hmm. judging themselves when they don't realize. Listen, Without the sin, there would be no Savior. Without the sin, man would not know the salvation.
You cannot sing Amazing Grace and then at the same time turn around and damn the devil, because the adversary, Satan, is necessary, as you said, Dan. And I was being quite facetious when I said that God lost control in the Garden of Eden and that Satan broke the leash, because as you and I realize, if that is true, what certainty do we have that he won't break the leash again? How secure is our salvation? Well, God's... What if Satan wants to take us from Christ's hand? Well, he can't do that because God won't allow it. Well, wait a minute. Apparently, God didn't want Satan to wreck up his creation in the garden. Well, that was then, sure, you know. But he's going to stop it in the future. Well, wait a minute. If he couldn't stop it in the past, what assures us that he's going to stop it in the future? We have no assurance that this universe is going to end well. If Satan busted the leash once, he could do it again.
Some people have the idea of God, that God created things, then the devil came and messed it up. Then God came in and said, oh, not time for me to move the checkers on the board, right?
Right, he's reacting to everything
Satan did. The devil's always one step ahead of God.
Yes, and God's running around the universe
Putting out fires, but that is not the God of Scripture. God is God, dear. Listen to me. God is God, and he's not up there waiting for the next move. So that tells us that this creation, every square inch of it has a purpose. Even our sins. Even our sins. Sin is horrible. We hate sin. We don't like to commit it.
We're not glorifying it in any way.
But we know that it's essential to God's purpose to reveal himself as a Savior. You must have the black background in order for God's grace to shine the brightest. And one day, when all this God's purposes are over and he's demonstrated his characteristics throughout the eons, he will totally obliterate sin and death forever and permanently. But right now, we need this background. Romans chapter 8 says that this God has subjected this creation to vanity so it can experience deliverance to come.
And you're speaking of background. It's as simple as a child in third grade cutting out the paper snowflake and the intricate designs, or if you want to picture a lace snowflake, how does it show up? How do you see the intricacy of the design? Only on a black backdrop. That sounds so simplistic, and yet there is deep truth in that illustration, because that is exactly what God has done to reveal his saving grace and his love.
So, friends, if you're struggling with sin, remember that God revealed a Savior because of sin. And without sin, there'd be no Savior. And when we get to glory, when one day we're in heaven, and in the final end, at the consummation, when all is done, we will look back and say, it was worth it. And God is a genius.
And we will thank God.
Thank God for what? Yes.
We will actually thank God for our failings.
Yes. Well, this is Dan and Martin, and it was a pleasure to be with you once again. Martin's web address
is martinsunder.com.
And our web address is crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. Get a copy of Martin's book either at our website or his. You can go to our website and get a copy of the Concordant version or the Concordant commentary in the New Testament. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. We're having a conference, Martin and I, in Chicago, September 18th through the 20th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, here in Chicago, and in Amarillo, Texas, on October 9th through the 11th. Go to our website for more details. And until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.